Brennan.
Hello, Alan.
Wow, what a week it has been.
You remember what happened?
Mostly, it's a little foggy, you might say.
Francisco is a foggy city.
It is, especially on Saturdays, apparently. Friday nights?
We forgot to record.
Oh. We were having a pretty good time.
Yeah. Just trust us, it wasn't documented, but it was fun.
We have a couple pictures, maybe. You have at least one, and I have at least one.
Right.
I don't think we got a picture of us and no, we didn't. One of us and Garen and Skylar, unfortunately.
Oh, I didn't even think. No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Dang it. Well,
Well,
now that just means we'll have to reconvene at another time.
done. Done. We'll work that out. For those that have no idea what we're talking about, welcome to the Not a Thing podcast. What we're talking about is we had a reunion of sorts, Brendan and I, as well as Garen O'Brien, the composer,
Composer for the podcast.
composer for the podcast, and Skylar DeWitt,
Do
DeWitt,
it.
DeWitt, who's our on-staff artist for
Yes.
the So the designer of our logo and the designer of our or composer of our theme song, and then of course Brandon and I, the on-air talent, as it were.
That's very nice of you to say, Alan.
And we were together in one place, and we did not record.
Because we're professionals.
So those familiar with the podcast and its origins know that we actually record. Well, I guess when we originated the podcast, we were recording together.
Well,
But
yeah, when we lived down the street from each other.
now, I guess we live down the street from each other if you count 101 as a street and
There's
the
really
alley.
not many turns.
Yeah, right. And down is about, 90 miles.
Yeah.
We're this is a long distance podcast, you might say.
Still going strong.
Not bad, right? It's I think we're this is gonna be number 37, which is
Something
like 38 if you count the origin story podcast.
like Which I do.
yeah. So, like
Well,
all
plus the A and B episode, so really, we're almost 40,
Yeah, right?
which is
Right.
so old.
That
I mean, a high number.
Yeah. So, it was an exciting night. We were out at Cobb's in San Francisco for the Doug Benson Countdown to April the 20th show. That's what it was, right? April
Something
20th.
like that.
Something like that. And it was fun. We had a couple other folks there. Derek and Omid joined us. Fans of the podcast, I assume. And and yeah, a bunch of other people who were fans too, I'm sure. Just so many. We had a lot of trouble, just getting through the crowd
It was hard to buy my own drink. I mean, everyone was buying me drinks.
Right. The whole evening.
Oh yeah. You know what I found out in that show before the one we went to? DC Pearson was there
Oh,
from Dark Comedy. I did not realize that. I was bummed out that I didn't get to meet him.
But that would have meant getting into the city a lot earlier.
No, the show before we were there. So when we were in line, they were all coming out.
Oh, so it's possible you could have,
Yeah.
wandered out and said hi and.
And I think your stuff is funny, man. Check out Derek Comedy.
We'll have to reconvene for that at a later date too. We'll work something out. Yeah, it was good. It was good to see you in person as opposed to kind of on my
Just
computer screen.
hearing each other.
Yeah.
This is not video
But
podcasting.
I guess we don't even see each other because we don't use our cameras, so you have the avatar picture of me, I think I'm swinging a
With a
sledgehammer.
sledgehammer? Yeah, it's pretty threatening.
You have a coffee cup.
Yeah, that picture is about 4 years old.
Yeah,
No,
same with
3 years
mine.
old.
oh, the internet, the place where kind of old pictures.
Even when dealing with people you know, forever. You're not portraying yourself accurately.
Well, what is social media if not, you know, the best version of ourselves, right?
Right. See episode whatever the one we talked about that was.
Excellent. Well, let's jump into the fun stuff we ran into this week besides the lovely Doug Benson show, which was quite lovely. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Shout out to Graham Elwood for taking a picture with us.
Yeah. With the, fellow podcaster Graham Elwood.
Yes. Maybe we should get him to guest, right?
Right.
Right, exactly. I'll have our people talk to his people.
Yes. I'll get on that.
So, interesting this week, what do we got? We have a guy from the UK who made and he calls it a spider robot, and I have to be kind of a stickler here, only because it only has 6 legs, so come on, UK guy, whatever.
Don't ants have 6 legs?
Ants do have 6 legs, but wasn't it supposed to be a spider?
It is.
Okay.
But that sounds more intimidating than an ant bot.
I don't know. Ants can lift 50 times their own body weight. It's pretty impressive.
Well, in the article, they called it a mantis robot.
Oh, well, that makes even less sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Because mantises, like, eat their mates and stuff.
But robots don't do that, as far as we know.
Well, so this is an interesting thing because it's this huge, like, it was like a 2-ton made of steel or aluminum. The guy built it himself, learned how to program and weld and, like, you know, put motors in things just to make this. So he was really driven. He spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds, as they call them, the weird money they have over in the UK. And it's real. It, like, walks around, and there's a video that we'll probably link, even though it has this amazingly stupid dubstep, like, soundtrack, which is completely unnecessary. Especially since the robot moves all of, like, 1 mile an hour. It is pretty impressive, and so I have to get your stance on this. You know, being the podcast expert on robots,
and robotics, and having a strong stance of being anti-robot.
Yes,
I'm actually fine with this one. it is human controlled, so it's really just like an exoskeleton. aliens.
Okay. Yeah.
And it only goes 1 mile an hour. I can get away from that.
That's a good point.
Right. So, I'm fine with it at this point.
Yeah. And I was looking at it, and I like that it is a 6-legged robot. I mean, that's pretty intimidating. But I feel that the way that it walks really limits it in that if one of the legs were damaged or caught on something, it would not, like, be able to deal with that.
Well, it's like a proto AT-AT.
It's an AT-AT-AT?
Sure.
Okay. Because an AT-AT has 4 legs, right? And the AT-ST has 2, so it's like at, what would 8 be? ET? AT-ET? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I mean, it's still because it's an all-terrain armored transport. An all-terrain scout transport.
Touche, sir. Touche.
And actually, in the Star Wars Expanded Universe, there was a spider walker that did exist.
Wow.
It was in the Kevin J. Anderson books, I think. Anyway.
Is this the reverse of the NES moment from last week?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think do-it-yourself large robots are a thing. You should be able to make robots that walk not autonomously. I agree with you there, but I think this is This is going to be the next big thing.
I wonder if he was a big fan of Will Smith's Wild Wild West.
Well, that would make one, I guess, right? That would...
There's got to be somebody for, you know, there's someone for everything.
That was so, so bad. I think I saw that. I did see it in the theater, unfortunately. But I want to say I saw that as a double feature. And I can't imagine what I saw that with. It kind of overshadowed the other movie in its badness. So I do not remember.
1999, I would have been like 13. I remembered enjoying it when I was a child. And because I was like 13 when that came out, and sure. That's what that movie's targeted at. But I watched it again a year or two ago, and oh, it's such a steaming pile of crap. A steampunking pile of crap.
Awesome. Yeah.
You know when they say, yeah, that movie really holds up? It doesn't.
This is the exception that proves the rule.
Unlike another movie we'll be discussing later, which totally holds up.
good teaser there. Well done. You're like a pro at this podcasting stuff.
Yeah, I do what I can.
And all of this will last forever. That's the wonder of podcasting. Or at least 2 years.
Until the server crashes. Well, that reminds me, I need to renew our domain.
Domain. Okay, good point. Keep Not a Thing Podcast around. What I was referring to with the 2 years is news this week that Siri, Apple's Siri, which is the voice control for the iPhone and whatever else, apparently keeps its voice data for 2 years, which is a little wild. I had first kind of realized this when because I have an iPhone and I was messing around with, you know, making it say, like, silly things and stuff. And I realized at one point it had said something like, the network is too busy to answer your request now. And I thought that was weird because what I was doing was asking it to fetch something out of my address book, just like calling someone or something, which I thought would be completely local. But what's actually happening is whenever you use Siri, it goes up to the cloud. The wonderful cloud, and does the query on Apple servers and then sends it back down, and that snippet of your voice is recorded. I mean, it's supposedly anonymized and dissociated from your voice number or your account, but I would think that it's a little unnecessary to keep that data for 2 years, which is what was revealed this week after some talk by the ACLU. Kind of digging from them, got them to, okay, we keep it for 2 years. It's like, is that okay? I don't know.
Well, that makes me want to just start skewing their records and just start saying stupid shit to Siri all the time.
Right. Just disinformation. Just kind
of. Yeah. One what plus two is seven, Siri. Wrong.
It's really funny because one of the tweets I saw this week, it was from another friend of mine who he called it making fun of big data, and he called it big data, and it's deliberately seeding databases with erroneous information. So exactly what you said.
Excellent.
That should be a thing. I like that because I don't trust that. Anonymized data is really anonymized, first of all. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I don't know what they're doing with my voice for 2 years. I mean, I feel like, you know, how much analysis can you do on someone's voice to optimize an algorithm?
You could be getting voiceover work you didn't even know you were getting.
Is that what's going to happen? They're just going to piece together a voiceover, an electronic voiceover artist? That will then get all the royalties that I should so clearly be getting?
Yeah. It's possible.
That's fine. I'm sure Morgan Freeman will still take voiceover acting away from Siri. And speaking of Morgan Freeman, we might talk about a movie he's in later. Two can play this Alan. Game.
Go Team Podcast.
What else happened this week? Oh, God.
So, good segue.
Yeah. Great segue there, Alan. I saw this in... This was a News of the Weird thing for sure, but... in New Zealand, New Zealand also, hopefully, in an unrelated but also good bit of news, legalized gay marriage. Yay! Good for them. But in a kind of odder twist, I think, kind of the schizophrenic nature of the law and its applications is, they put a man in jail, strictly based on owning porn and I can see doing that for child pornography reasons, which is completely illegal and immoral and all that kind of bad stuff. And in fact, this guy was a convicted pedophile, if I'm remembering correctly. So both not things, right? Very clearly bad, but he was jailed on possession of porn that was made of essentially cartoons. And it sounded like it wasn't...
cartoons of non-humans.
Right, and it sounded like not, like, particularly well-done porn either. It was described as, like, stick figures at one point. And I just feel like, however you feel about porn, kind of aside, just, like, the thought that possessing porn is illegal is kind of, I don't know.
Well, I think there are restrictions placed on him, I think, as someone in the situation that he's in. And I think that's why they're going after him, is they're saying that this is material that, like, provocative material that he's not allowed to possess as a convicted pedophile. They're saying it's childlike images, but from what I've read, it's really not. Not that, well, I've seen it.
Right. I mean, if it were depictions of children, that's one thing. But I think you're confused, or not you.
What the hell, Alan?
Clearly not you. The courts of New Zealand are confusing art that might be made for children. I mean,
well, they do drink a lot in New Zealand. Like, half my family lives there, so.
We should get them on the podcast and see what they think about this, obviously.
Or not.
Well, I think thought crime is not crime, at least for now. Until the computers can tell us what we can't think about.
Damn straight.
Yeah. speaking of... kind of computers and imagery and kind of things that should be illegal. I'm interested because the TSA just put up a lengthy, very lengthy bit of material on their on the government regulations website, because they're putting out a request for comment regarding I forget what the exact term was. It was like, enhanced scanning.
Oh, passenger screening using advanced imaging technology.
Right, which is just code for the kind of body crazy scanner. Awkward X-ray that they make everyone go through before getting on planes. And it was this really just lengthy comment, like request for comment, and it was just super analysis. Heavy, like, here's how much it costs and here's how much it is projected to cost and here's all this other data and here's how the thing works and here's why we do it and tell us what you think. And the tell us what you think part is just super understated, and I don't know how you would read through that whole thing to even, or why you'd want to read through
it. I couldn't even find the tell us what you think.
Yeah. So, I mean, in short, I don't think. It's not short. Yeah. In short, I don't think it's. I don't think it should be a thing. I think the whole thing with the X-rays is a extreme invasion of privacy, first of all, and just amazingly like awkward for everyone involved. I miss walking through the X-ray and doing the old, oh, I guess I have my belt on, it beeped, I'm sorry, haha, you know. There's nothing like that. They would not mistake your belt for being on or off with these things. I'm not a fan of the enhanced scanning, or enhanced screening, rather. It's
not a thing.
It's bad. So
write your congressman.
Go in there, literally write your congressman. Get those things out of there, or dealt with in a way that makes you feel like a human being as you're trying to get on a plane. That's all I want. And now for a little point counterpoint. This is the new section on the podcast.
I don't know why you're so adversarial, Alan.
It was the whole you know, who could segue it better from earlier in the show. Anyway, we're for those keeping up with the news or not keeping up with the news, there was some stuff.
For those
that happened,
listening to this years from now,
right? There was some stuff that happened last week. The bombings at the Boston Marathon. I think we addressed it last week very briefly. That the bombing itself and all that kind of stuff, I think, is not necessarily fodder for our podcast. I think we know, or all our listeners know, how we stand on that. But what was interesting to me was just some of the news flow and the kind of meta conversation that was around that. And it was this kind of discovered in the pre-show kind of banter that Brendan and I have, that we had almost complete opposite consumption habits regarding the news flow, you know. So in and of itself, I mean, disregarding where you get your news and stuff like that, because I mean, that whole thing is a great piece of conversation.
Whether you get your news with a capital N or your news in quotations.
I just thought it was interesting that that we had different kind of approaches to getting that news flow. So I'll start with me. Why not? I was glued to like every news source I could find. I mean, it was one of the few times that I had kind of TV news giving me information. I'm usually not that kind of person. I like to read either physical paper kind of news, although I don't do that too much, or you know, news off the internet. And I was just trying to consume as much as I could because I wanted to know kind of more about what was going on, to the point that I was following threads on Reddit that were, you know, posting news sources so I could watch coverage from local channels instead of, you know, through the filter of, you know, the Associated Press and CNN and all of the other kind of national news sources. I just wanted to get kind of the local perspective, as well as following Twitter streams from people that lived in Boston. And there, at one point, I was listening to a police scanner that someone had pointed a webcam at and then put it on Ustream so I could listen to the police chatter on one of the nights. Yeah, I was kind of a junkie about it. Before we, you know, dive into any analysis on that, how was your experience regarding it?
I found out about what happened through Facebook was the first thing that I saw. And then I you know, hit up the news sites online to try and find out any information, and it was really hard finding any actual facts.
Yeah.
Like, everything was really in generalities, especially in the beginning. I mean, that's what you would expect to happen. But I've reached a point in my life where I cannot handle TV punditry anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I have trouble watching The Daily Show because it just bums me out. The state of the Fourth Estate. in our country.
Uh-huh.
So I did not watch any TV coverage. It was all, I was just trying to read online articles from newspapers. And it was just hard to try and find actual facts.
Oh, yeah.
Skimming, you know, getting through all the other punditry and assumptions and, you know,
yeah,
just rampant speculation.
Right, right. And it was weird because normally I am that way too. Like, I don't like, well, I definitely don't like TV punditry. So I will turn away from that. But I was watching any channel that would show, like, any kind of live feeds of what was happening, or maybe I would have it on and just mute it just so I could, again, read, you know, I would read the ticker or whatever, but not listen to the people talking. But even kind of the rampant speculation stuff, I know I had a tab open that was an IRC channel just for Boston speculation and talking about, like, oh, is it this guy? Let's look at these pictures and kind of figure out who it is. And I got caught up in that. I mean, I didn't contribute to it. I was passive about what was going on, but I just found it fascinating to see the kind of, you know, cyber vigilantism that was happening. I felt just super bad after it was revealed that, you know, the people that were being kind of held up as potential suspects by some news sources were not, you know, were incorrect, right? Like the New York Post, which is deplorable as a newspaper, ran kind of like, oh, it's these guys, and it, like, mm-hmm. The FBI was like, no. And I know that those sources that said, oh, it's these guys, came from the internet. Like, I know Reddit and at least one other site had kind of pointed out, you know, suspicions from these pictures. But, you know, the FBI had to, I mean, essentially say, no, it's actually these two guys. And I think the FBI had to release their information maybe before they wanted to, just to, you know, stop any kind of potential witch hunt of incorrect suspects, which, I mean, is completely and should not be a thing. Let's at least admit that about kind of coverage. If you're going to cover the news, you should be, I mean, at least conscientious of your actions. And if you're going to kind of work with that, I mean, at least work within the system. I mean, right? Notify the FBI. Don't post it all over your Facebook page, right? It's, right. Yeah. News should flow kind of to the proper people, I think. So, but, yeah, I think it's really interesting that we had, you know, kind of differing opinions about how to pull that news. And I totally see how just being completely in that news stream was probably taking a toll on me psychologically anyway.
It feeds the fear machine.
Yeah.
This isn't the first instance of something horrible happening, you know, in recent times or, you know, for a long time.
Right.
And I've just kind of reached a point where it's, okay, I'm aware that this thing has happened, but I'm just going to because there's nothing to engage me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not directly involved in it, so I'm going to wait to see what facts come out.
Right.
I'm not going to get swept up in whatever coverage narrative they're trying to go with in the news.
Yeah, and that is a much healthier kind of approach, so I...
Because I just can't take it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one really insightful thing, the Sesame Street blog put up a couple links about how to kind of work with your kids about you know, tragic events and information and stuff. And what was interesting was the article was targeted that way, but when they tweeted it, because yes, I follow Sesame Street. The what they tweeted was how to help your kids, and then in parentheses it said, "and you deal with tragic events." And I thought that was nice because it really was at that at that point really important. And I think at that point, which was kind of late in the news flow, it was maybe like Thursday late, or maybe even Friday morning. I had read that article, and it's just like, you know, you have to unplug from it. And I definitely felt that kind of too late, I think. But yeah. So, I think Brendan definitely has the safer and more sane approach here. So,
well, it seems like we kind of collectively do that as a society. Like, we get swept up in these horrible events, and then a month later, do you even think about it?
Yeah. So, I mean, the other side of it is,
now you're on to the next tragedy.
Yeah. Well, that's the unfortunate thing, that there are always tragedies to talk about, but I do think about kind of prior stuff, but I don't think about, you're right, I don't think about the speculation and stuff that goes around with it. I only think about the facts, or I try to think only about the facts about how it goes, because that's really the only thing that's real. That's why they're facts.
Just the facts, Jack.
Learning so much on this podcast. So do we have enough time for stuff, or should we just jump right into spoiler land and leave?
Let's just go to spoiler land.
Let's leave the...
it's a happy place.
Yeah.
They're silly people.
So spoiler alert, there'll be spoilers from this point forward, because we have lots to talk about.
We have a spoiler trifecta: TV, movies, and games.
Yeah. So where do you want to start?
Let's start with some TV.
Okay. Game of Thrones was freaking awesome.
Yes. Or is it Westeros? Fuck yeah.
All the Unsullied gonna save the day now. Yeah. I was quite impressed. I mean, all right. So the reveal when she can speak Valyrian, I knew that something like that was going to happen, just because of the way that the slave master was such a dick to everybody, yeah, to her. Like, you knew it was going to happen. You knew it was like, oh, this is too throwaway that, you know, he's trying to speak in another language and no one's going to know what's being said. I knew someone was going to know. I didn't know it was going to be her. But yeah, even still, when that pays off at the...
Yeah.
It's still good. It's still great.
Yeah, I mean, having read the books, even the show is so good that even when you know what's coming, it still blows you away.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good.
Because like, it this weekend, last week, with the hand getting the old chop. Yeah. That was great.
So I did like... because I feel like even the first, maybe not so much the third episode, but the first two episodes were just like, hey, everybody, remember we have all these storylines? Let me just catch you up. And it, like, I felt like there was that kind of motion around everything. It's just like, let me just make sure you remember all the important people. And then this last episode especially was like, okay, we're going to blow up every single one of these stories. Go. Right. They had, you know, the Black Watch at the guy's house, and you know, it's like, oh, this is crap, this is really bad, and then that whole thing explodes. there's Theon kind of like, oh, I'm so put upon, oh look, some guy's gonna help me get away, and not.
Well, put upon or tortured, either way.
Yeah.
That's one way to be put upon,
okay,
I guess.
Okay, fair enough. Kind of deserves it, in my opinion, but whatever.
Well, I'm interested to see how dark they go with his character, because in the books, his journey is not so great for him. So I'll see how far they take it in the show.
Sure.
So far, they've lived up to pretty much everything. Oh, I actually saw an interview, or read an interview, with one of the producers on the show.
Uh-huh.
And the scene where the slaver gets blasted by the dragon.
Yeah.
That wasn't CGI. Like, they took a blowtorch and shot a stuntman in the face with a blowtorch.
Oh my god.
That's why it looked so good.
Practical effects rule.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what that's saying. Think about that, Hollywood. Practical effects should be a thing.
Yes.
I did like the cool guys don't look at explosions moment that, yeah. that Daenerys got, you know.
Yeah, she really owned that whole scene. That was some solid acting.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. It's really good. I enjoyed it pretty much all around. I'm back on board. I was kind of like, it's good, but it's not. I'm not being, you know, drawn in like to the extent that I was. And then the end of last week, and then this week, it's just like, okay, all right, I'm on board. Let's go.
It's on. Full steam ahead.
Yeah. So hooray, Game of Thrones, good stuff. Okay, so that's kind of new, not new beginnings, but like kind of good momentum anyway for that. Some momentum that carried over from last week's episode, because we were talking about the Walking Dead game and how I was just about to finish it. So I have now finished it, and oh my god, that was good.
It's so sad.
It is sad, but the payoff is so right. It's just done well. The emotion is twisted in just the right way, and your character, or Lee rather, you know, his thing, that whole thing is so awful and tragic, but the way that they played the stranger that you meet that kidnapped Clementine,
mm-hmm.
Oh, that was great. Just really well done. Just shows how not black and white like the whole game was, really.
Right.
So I thought that was really
good. So had you taken the supplies?
I did not.
Okay, I didn't either.
So that's another thing about the game, which you should play, and if you haven't, I'm sorry because we're totally spoiling it right now, but you absolutely should play it. But the interesting thing, even if you didn't play it, or if you did play it, is that there's kind of branching, not some almost storylines, but really branching kind of motivations based on what choices you make. I think the main story, and even some of the side stories don't change that much depending on your choices, but it does kind of rewrite some of the narrative to change how you react and how other characters react if you say different things, which I thought was good, because the reason you kind of become invested is because you're making those choices, and the payoff is how people react, and that was done really, really well in the game. So I mean, there were a lot of choices that I think were important. The ones that mattered the most in this one, at least as far as I know, was the decision about your arm. Did you keep your arm?
No, I cut it off.
So I kept it, and I don't think it changed anything. I think you except during the scene when you're walking through the block with all of the zombies. Uh-huh. I was carrying two weapons.
Oh yeah, my stump was quite the hindrance.
So I had like a knife and a piece of broken glass that I'd picked up. So that was pretty wild. And then the other choice was, did you have Clem shoot or not?
I had her not.
So I had her shoot.
Oh,
it's so interesting because Julie had the same choices as you. So I'm sure there's a like psychological profile they could glean from like your choices, which I would love to see. That would be so great.
That would be interesting.
Kind of like, you know, that Myers-Briggs personality test, except it's based on what choices you make.
I think playing an RPG would give you a more accurate representation. If you told someone, okay, play these decisions like you would actually do them.
Yeah.
I think that could be more accurate than a, you know, most likely, least likely, whatever, 1 to 10 scale.
Yeah, traditional, like, test. Personality test or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would. This is a good idea.
Someone design that and then give me money for coming up with the idea.
Copyright Not a Thing Podcast 2013.
Anyone out there who designs games, give me a shout. We can work something out.
We'll give you some Not a Thing Podcast swag once we get some.
Someday.
Maybe soon. So we've been teasing it all show. So what movie did you see this week?
I saw two movies this weekend. The first one was Jurassic Park 3D.
Something has survived.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
I realized Something Has Survived was the tagline for the toys in the commercials.
Nice.
Did they ever say that during the movie? I don't think they did.
I don't think so. No. What I did realize is that I quote that movie a lot, because that's where I said, hold on to your butts.
Yeah.
And clever girl.
Yes. Yeah, I just said clever girl this weekend too.
And that movie really holds up. It's still good. The 3D was bullshit, but as a movie.
Yes,
it's a well-made movie. It still
sorry, Hollywood, 3D is still not a thing.
3D is an excuse to go see a movie that I never got to see on the big screen.
Oh, well, that's good, because I think that's a movie that deserves the big screen treatment.
Yeah, those dinosaurs, some of them still looked good. Some of them not so much.
So I know there was a mix of practical and CGI for that. Do you distinguish those as one looking better or not?
Well, I think it honestly had more to do with the lighting.
Okay.
Because I felt like all the stuff that was shot at night, it looked really good, or indoors, it looked really good.
Sure.
And then when they have the first dinosaurs you see in the day shot.
Yeah.
When they see the, was it a Apatosaurus or
yep.
whatever
yep.
it is. Those looked fake. Those looked really fake. But everything else I thought looked real good.
Yeah. Well, I think there's more going on with the ones you see later. But I think it's interesting that, you know, the first ones you see, you know, those were the ones that were practical effects, if I'm remembering right.
No, I think primarily. They're CGI.
Oh, I'm going to have to rewatch it. That's worth watching again. For sure. Oh, yeah.
I hadn't seen it in a while. And, it's still a good movie. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, what rock are you living under?
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg is great. Most of the time.
And that John Williams soundtrack, you can't dispute. It's just so good. And then you saw something else this week?
I did. I saw Oblivion.
So I did not see this movie. I was thinking about it. There was an opportunity to see it with a friend of mine, and like timing didn't work out, so I didn't go see it. I was on the fence about it, and I had heard that M83 did the soundtrack or the score, and they do the song. I think it's Midnight City, which I hear all the time. So I kind of feel, I don't know. I was conflicted on many levels for seeing it, and I ended up not seeing it. So what did you come away with it with?
It is the best derivative movie I've ever seen. I don't think there's a single scene in that movie that I have not seen in another movie.
Oh.
But it was all really well done.
Okay.
Like, it looked good, it sounded good, the acting was fine, Tom Cruise.
So it was like a good mixtape.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like, here's a dash of 2001, here's some Moon, throwing a little Independence Day. it was The Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot. Nothing really surprised me. There wasn't a lot of, I mean, there were twists, I guess, but since I've seen science fiction movies before, I kind of saw them coming.
So is this the kind of movie that, like, you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
It was enjoyable. It was better than G.I. Joe. That's for sure. Not that that's a high bar, but...
Right.
No, it was decent.
Okay.
The people I saw it with, they liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. You know, it was okay. It was serviceable. It was science fiction on the big screen, which you don't see a ton of.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's really bad.
I think science fiction... decent. Right. I think science fiction should be a thing. Science fiction in movies, definitely good. Is it worth seeing on the big screen? If I wait and watch it at home, am I going to be okay?
You've got a nice TV. You'll be fine at home. I thought of it as an obligation to go, because if there's a science fiction movie starring Tom Cruise, I want to go give it my money. Because if he can't make a successful movie, then anyone else trying to make sci-fi for the big screen is screwed.
It's a really good point. Really good set of points there. Well, there is. It looks like there is some science fiction still coming. I mean, we had talked a little bit about some movie trailers, and so we watched the trailer for. Oh, I already forgot. Thor: The Dark World. The Dark World, right? And then the one for RIPD.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start with RIPD and say it looks really fun. It really looks like a fun movie. I'm not sure if it looks like a good movie yet.
I would agree with that assessment. It looks like Men in Black with dead things instead of aliens.
Right.
But you get to see Jeff Bridges being crazy Western guy. So.
Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't get enough out of...
True Grit.
Yes. I mean, that looks right. That looks good. And I think... I mean, I enjoyed Hellboy.
Hellboy?
And it seemed to have a similar kind of feel...
Yeah, except that's Guillermo del Toro, and he makes good movies.
Yeah.
And I don't know who directed this thing, but it looks goofy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Men in Black is a better connector on that.
Which
one.
I actually enjoyed the third Men in Black.
Oh, okay.
The second one was terrible.
Yeah, I didn't watch the third one because of the second one.
I didn't watch it for a long time, and some friends brought it over, and we watched it, and it was, you know, it's all right.
Okay.
If this movie is as good as that, I'll be happy. Doesn't need to blow me away.
Right. I think the bar is higher, though, for Thor: The Dark World.
Yes.
But I think it's going to clear it.
Yeah, I had no excitement for this movie before I saw the trailer. I was like, the first one was okay. It was a setup movie for Avengers.
Very much, yeah.
But then I saw the trailer today, and they hooked me.
No, I think it of the movies that led up to Avengers, Thor was definitely the weakest. Captain America might be second, but
weakest or second best?
Or maybe no. I guess the Hulk would be second weakest in there. I don't know.
That's Thor, not part of the same.
Yeah, right. But Thor really didn't feel like it was. It was like a good enough story on its own, but I think that they're going in a much different direction and not tying it back to the Avengers. I think it's a good idea on their part to just be like, this is its own story, this is its own thing. Let's give the audience what they want, which is, you know, Thor being Thor and not. A guy who's kind of, you know, right?
We want full powers, and we want him fighting lots of bad guys, not one robot in the desert.
Right, right. Which looks good. And Natalie Portman.
Yes.
Not going to hate on it.
She always looks good.
Yeah. I just hope, you think they're going to get Stellan Skarsgård back in?
I don't think he will be in it.
Maybe not on board again for that's fine. That's good. What did we talk about everything already? Are we already on
board? I think we did.
Okay, good.
We've talked it out.
Yeah. was good. It was good stuff this week. I think that's probably enough.
Go get some rest, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, and we'll have you on next week for another Not a Thing podcast.
Bye-bye.